You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, Matt Derry with you. It's Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network. It is indeed a Tuesday, May 24th, and a Wednesday, May 25th. Yours truly turns 49 years old today. So some of you that have wished me a happy birthday, we appreciate that. On Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter. And also the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Coming up on the show today, Benjamin Raven. We love talking to Ben. From MLive.com, he is the co-beat writer alongside Kyle Meinke. Kyle and Ben do a fantastic job for MLive. All the beat guys are really, really good, and girls are really, really good. They cover the team, and we'll talk to Ben. They also host the Dungeon of Doom podcast that they started last year. So Ben will join us coming up momentarily on the program. Also today, OTAs are starting this week. Media will not be allowed in until Thursday. But there's a player that is making some hay already, making a name for himself. And I'm not saying he's definitely going to make the team or anything. But we got to bring that player's name up as well, coming up on the show momentarily. Thanks for making us your first listen each and every day right here on Locked On Lions, wherever you find your podcast. Soon as well, we will be expanding our coverage. We'll explain that coming up hopefully next week as well. Here on the show. All right, so OTAs is organized team activities. It is voluntary, yet many feel that all the Lions will be there. It's one of those situations right now where this organization, this team, they are all guns ablaze and everybody's involved, everybody's excited, and everybody wants to participate, which is a rarity. Sometimes you get 90% participation, 80%. Sometimes veterans go, I don't need to be there. Does Aaron Rodgers need to be at OTAs or Ben Roethlisberger last year in Pittsburgh? Something like that. For the Lions, it's expected that everybody is going to be at these organized team activities, which are voluntary. Now, in June, I believe there is a required workout for the team. I believe it's like June 5th through the 7th, a mandatory mini camp. Other than that, it's going to be fun to see how many guys show up and what this team kind of looks like this week in seven-on-sevens, et cetera. One player that really turned some heads in rookie minicamp, we're going to talk about this too with Ben coming up momentarily, is former Central Michigan wide receiver Khalil Pimpleton. All right, he of the like 17 zillion return punts for a touchdown, very, very exciting player out of CMU. All right, he had two punt returns last year. He threw a touchdown pass last year. In the last game of the regular season against Western Michigan, five catches, 115 yards, and a score, and the two punt return touchdowns. And my buddy Adam Jaxa, that's the voice of the Chippewas, just, you know, anytime he touches the ball, something great happens. Now, again, Khalil Pimpleton is like 5'8", 5'9". I mean, he's very, very small. And they had him listed, I guess, at Central at 5'7", 172. Apparently, he's grown a little bit. But he's just really, really exciting. And you're thinking, all right, it's a nice story, but he won't make the team. And then you look at it and you say, wait a minute, he had a really good rookie minicamp last week. And you know there's going to be five guys that are locks that make this team at wide receiver. The question is, do they keep five or do they keep six on the roster? Some teams keep five, some teams keep six. DJ Chark, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, and Khalif Raymond, to me, are going to make this team. They brought Khalif Raymond back for a reason. If they have six receivers, could a guy like Khalil Pimpleton make the team over Quintez Cephas? Quintez, of course, got hurt last year. Pretty good wide receiver and a good rookie season in 2020. But he's a fifth-round draft pick of one Bob Quinn. He was not drafted by Brad Holmes. So if Holmes kind of wants to put his own furniture in his own house, some of these guys, including guys like Kerryon Johnson, who was sent packing pretty early last year by Brad Holmes, maybe Brad Holmes looks at it and says, you know, I'm going to let one of these young guys beat out a guy like Cephas. Trinity Benson is still on the team. A very disappointing year last year. Was hurt. Was also rarely active. Of course, the Lions want to give him an opportunity. They're trading for him last year from Denver. Tom Kennedy still on the roster, but I don't think he'll make it. And then a couple of UDFAs and Corey Sutton, Josh Johnson, and Pimpleton. But keep an eye on number 83. Let's see how he does this week in OTAs. He is just an exciting player. And there's no, it's not a lock that Cephas is definitely back next year. Especially when year two of a GM, he's going to start putting more of his own guys on the field. But OTA started today, and again, reporters will be allowed in on Thursday. Ben Raven, MLive.com, is going to join us coming up next. This episode brought to you by our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning from that person behind the counter when you can just go to rockauto.com right on your computer or phone, and it's so much easier. Save time, save money when you use Rock Auto. Seriously, why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, just $200 from Rock Auto. Family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, but the best part of rockauto.com is their prices. They are reliably low for every customer. Go to the website today, rockauto.com, right now. See all the parts available for your car, truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Ben Raven from MLive.com, part of the dynamic duo, the best 1-2 punch in the NFL, Kyle Meinke and Ben Raven from MLive. And Ben joins me now today on Locked On Lions. What's up, sir?
Not too much. Just kind of enjoying the weird offseason life. You know how it goes. But we're in OTAs. I'm fresh back from Miami Beach, ready for some OTAs.
Oh, yeah. I did see that on Twitter. You had a nice vacation. Everybody safe and was good, huh?
Everybody, it was great. It was a dream. It was a dream beach week. Absolutely.
Nice. Dungeon of Doom podcast as well. You guys back at it. Two of you guys started that last year. You had some really good guests. Jack Fox was great a year ago. How much fun are you guys having doing that?
Yeah, no, we've kind of shifted to like every other week for the off season, but that's just kind of makes sense now with the draft in the rear view. But oh man, it's just an absolute blast. You know, it's just kind of strengthened our bond as beat partners and kind of, we've got to talk to some fun people and then got to flash our analytics side in the off season. And we're looking forward to getting some more guests on the podcast once we get back out there in Allen Park some more.
You know, Ben, it's interesting. I brought this up on the show yesterday, the national love and attention that the Lions are getting. And I think it's warranted based on the good additions that Brad Holmes has made. And of course, the Dan Campbell factor where everybody's bought in and there's no real controversies here, but you know, Peter King ranking him 20th, Warren Sharp talking, sleeper to win the division. Where are you with some of these prognostications?
You know, it's warranted. It is warranted, and I get it. Winning the division is a pretty aggressive stretch for me, for sure. Like, no matter how good I'm feeling about the Lions, because that guy, number 12, was still playing on the other side of Lake Michigan, and they had an all right offseason, if you ask me. But, I did my way too early game-by-game predictions when the schedule dropped, and lo and behold, I had the Lions at 9-8, you know.
Whoa.
And put some in. Yeah, right. I know Kyle and I each had them at 9-8, different games to get there. You know, it's always fun to do that. And we're like, oh crap, you got the same record as me, but then completely different outcomes. So it's like, we're both sipping that Kool-Aid too. I'm thinking it might be a 8-9, 9-8 season. You know, they're going to be one of the biggest improvers in the NFL. Now, I get it. I mean, I really get it. I think the offense is a lot closer than it gets credit for. And shoot, they upgraded their edge rusher room and added a potential, you know, number three or potential starting safety next to Walker back there in the draft too. I mean, they checked a lot of boxes in this offseason, and it's really easy to fall in love with what Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are doing. So I get it.
Would you say 8-9, 9-8 based on the schedule, the ease of the schedule? And you and I talked last year, going into 2021, the schedule was murder, and that on top of a first year of a rebuild. But do you see sort of the way the schedule plays out, that there's some ease there?
Yeah, the back half of the schedule is like really where I think I had the Lions like going like 7-2 down the stretch. So I mean, that tells you it's a pretty tough stretch to get started this year. You know, the regular season, I mean, opening with the Eagles, I mean, that's the team that smacked the Lions like nobody else last season, and they're supposed to be better this year. You know, I mean, Eagles, Commanders, Vikings, Seahawks, Patriots. Obviously, the Seahawks are going to be down, but at New England, at Minnesota, and Washington and Philadelphia have some pretty solid teams there. I mean, that's a tough five-game stretch before the first bye. And then, I mean, seriously, the first seven games, that's a tough stretch because right out of the bye, at Dallas, back to Miami before the first meeting with the Packers. I mean, that's a really tough stretch to the first week of November. That's where it's rough. But it gets better. I mean, you're looking at Bears, Giants, Jaguars, Jets, Panthers, and Bears in the final home stretch. So that's really where they could, you know, if they can steal a couple of these early games, they could 9-8 fight for a playoff spot, 8-9 fight for a playoff spot. I mean, there's a hole in the back of that schedule that looks really easy on paper to me.
Benjamin Raven from MLive.com covers the Lions alongside Kyle Meinke and co-host of the Dungeon of Doom podcast as well. Biggest spot that you think got upgraded with this team is where this offseason?
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, I almost say wide receiver. I think it's the edge rusher room just based on Aiden and Pascal joining Harris and a healthy Okwara coming back, and we'll see what Julian's coming back. The edge rusher room and the wide receiver is like 1A and 1B just because I think added DJ Chark and drafted Jameson Williams. I mean, wow, that is those are two box checker wide receivers for the Lions. You know, J-Mo's obviously projecting as that long-term guy. We'll see what happens with DJ on the one-year deal. But, I mean, St. Brown, DJ Chark, and Jameson Williams with Josh Reynolds and even the very shifty weapon Khalif Raymond. I mean, there's some stuff to like in that receiver room. But, my 1A, it's the edge rusher room just because I think Aiden Hutchinson pairs wonderfully with this defense, looking at going to more four-man fronts next year. Gosh, they really did a good job with that front group on the defensive line and on the defensive edges. So I think I give it the edge to them just because of Aiden there.
I love the Jameson Williams move. I just thought Brad Holmes got aggressive. I continue to look at this. I saw him in his number 18 blue Lions jersey the other day in some of those pictures, and I just went, that's just such a difference maker, especially, Ben, if he can be there for the opener.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, gosh, it's easy to fall in love with Jameson Williams. And they talk about him. He wants to be ready for training camp. The team hasn't really said so much to that yet. They're taking it easy. They're going to take it slow. They're going to let this kid get back without pushing him for sure. But, I mean, he's him being ready for that first week would be something because, I mean, this is a game breaker. I mean, the stat that I've been throwing around, I saw he hit 23 miles an hour on a 94-yard touchdown in the season over last year. Jonathan Taylor had the fastest recorded time in the NFL last year, and it was just a little over 22. So this kid has got some wheels. He's just like, my favorite comparison for him was like a taller DeSean Jackson. I mean, he just, gosh, they needed somebody to be able to either make plays off those short throws from Goff or just to get downfield and be a decoy to get St. Brown some action over the middle or Hockenson over the middle. I mean, it just, when you look at that offense, it's really easy to see the vision, you know, that we got to see the last six or seven games last year kind of dictate how they controlled this offseason. I mean, Ben Johnson, Antoine Randall-El, they were not shy. We want to draft two wide receivers and sign another. You know, they might not have done that.
Yeah. But
maybe trading up to get Jameson Williams counts as drafting two wide receivers right there in my book. So, I mean, they added where they needed to add, and just Jameson Williams, I don't know if he's going to be ready for that opener because I do think they're going to take a long-term approach with him, as they should. But, man, if he's ready for week one and he's 100%, it's going to be fun to watch that offense kind of figure things out with Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell, you know, getting the full season to call the shots.
I wanted to ask you about that. How do you think that's going to go? Do you think, you know, Dan has not said 100% that he's going to call the plays again like he did a year ago, but you have to guess he would. And how much different will it look under Ben Johnson? Or will it just be the December offense? Because let's be honest, Anthony Lynn was kind of phased out a long time ago.
Yeah, I think you know, regardless of what happens, like I've said time and time again, I don't think they should change it. You know, as badly as I think Dan Campbell would like to hand off the play calling duties to Ben Johnson, I don't think it'll be an overnight or a first season deal just because of how well it worked and how quickly Campbell and Johnson appeared to grow in those roles down the stretch. You know, it was working. That offense looked like a completely different unit under that kind of leadership to end the season last year. So it's like, that's not broke yet, so don't fix it. You know, just kind of Ben Johnson obviously is going to have more of a say in the offense, but I think, you know, push everything through Campbell, let him call the plays until it doesn't work, because I mean, my goodness, they took some serious step forward. They got the absolute most out of Amon-Ra St. Brown, so it's just like, just keep going to that well, you know. Go back to Campbell calling the plays with the Johnson kind of running the passing game. If it ends up a year or two from now with Johnson calling the plays and Campbell just kind of being the head coach as we all thought he was going to be, then you know what? Good for it. But I say stick with it for now. That's kind of what I expect to happen. It just looked too good at the end of the season to kind of veer from that path.
Ben Raven with me. I want to ask him about OTAs this week, what he's going to look for when the reporters, the writers are allowed down there on Thursday. We'll do that coming up next. If you love brownies, you love brownie batter, you're in luck. Built Bar has come out with a new creation, and this one is better than ever. It is the Brownie Batter Puff. You heard me right. This marshmallow puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now at Built.com. I've been telling you about Built Puffs for weeks. These delicious flavored, marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate bars. They're incredible, but they're all marshmallow, and they're insanely good, and they're only 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar. Brownie Batter Puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. All Built Puffs are covered, like I said, in 100% real chocolate. I got the birthday cake one last week. Fantastic. Eat them in the morning on the way to work, and you're good to go. Seriously, Brownie Batter Puffs, though, they'll have you completely forgetting that you're eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. Go to Built.com to get those Brownie Batter Puffs now. Go to the website, Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Ben Raven, MLive.com, covers the Lions alongside Kyle Meinke, is with me here. They also do, of course, the Jim Caldwell named Dungeon of Doom podcast as well, which you can find on all platforms. Ben, tell me about OTAs this week. What are you looking forward to seeing in terms of 7-on-7 and how things are going to look come this spring?
Yeah, it'll just be mostly looking to see who's there, who's doing what, and obviously 7-on-7s is where our eyes really come into focus on the same area. You know, they're still not wearing shoulder pads, there's still no hitting or anything like that, but even in rookie minicamp about 10 days ago or so, I mean, you got to see some athleticism with some of those rookies and stuff, and that was kind of nice. You got to see how they move, you got to see how they interact with stuff. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for in these early days back in Allen Park. Minicamp 7-on-7s, there's not a lot to talk about, but like the one play that sticks out in my head is the CMU kid, Khalil Pimpleton. I mean, just the wheels on him, the athleticism, the movement, the ability to change directions, change speeds, and kind of slip through guys. That's the kind of stuff we're looking for this time of year. And obviously getting the rookies with the vets will be interesting to watch. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. No pads yet, so we're just kind of hanging on waiting for training camp at that point.
I talked to somebody that said that was at the rookie minicamp that said Khalil Pimpleton could push Quintez Cephas for a roster spot. Is that accurate, do you think?
Gosh, it's that's a really good question about Quintez, because he's kind of the forgotten man in that wide receiver room through some injury issues and some kind of just ho-hum performances. But, I mean, Pimpleton is such a unique athlete that it's hard to say no to that. I mean, he is small. He is clearly the smallest human being on that field in a football jersey, but there's just not a lot of guys that can move or do the things that he does. So, I mean, there's an outside chance. And, I mean, I know that it's rare for, like, a guy to stick on a roster as, like, a pure punt return or a kick return guy. But, like, if anybody was going to do that in 2022, I think it would be that kind of guy, you know. But then you're looking at Khalif Raymond, too, who they brought back. So I think Raymond and Cephas are his main competition. So it's like he's going to have to flash something on offense. He's going to have to flash something on special teams other than just returning punts and stuff like that. But he's a special athlete. He's a playmaker. And, I mean, I think, like, gosh, that's a perfect guy that if you could protect on your practice squad and kind of figure out for a year or so, and just, I mean, there's some dynamic playmaking ability there. He's not going to beat you over the top or anything like that in the offense, but get the ball in his hand and he might be able to get you some first downs without question. He is shifty. He's an impressive mover without question.
What about defensively? Certainly spending the number one, at least the number two overall pick, but their first pick on Aiden Hutchinson. The Pascal move, I know, surprised some people. It seems like Brad Holmes is collecting edge rushers, but how much, I don't know, with the depth that's there in terms of, like you mentioned before, with Romeo, Julian, Charles Harris, how do you think they're going to, you know, kind of divvy out that playing time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of that depends on how Romeo recovers from his Achilles injury, but it's like, it's hard to imagine Aiden Hutchinson not starting. I think in my head, I see Romeo and Hutch at the top of the order with Charles Harris kind of filling in the spots as that 1B, 1C guy who's going to play a ton of minutes, a ton of plays, a ton of snaps and stuff like that. That's how I view it, just because I do think Hutchinson is NFL ready. Get that kid on the field, let him play, let him show you what he's got. But gosh, yeah, those top three guys right there or something. And if Julian can keep it going, if he was at the end of the season, that's a nice rotational athletic piece right there. But I mean, and one thing, it looks like Pascal, I mean, he's digging into his game a little more. That's he's not going to blow you away or anything like that, but he is a really sound, well run defender. He's a better athlete than he gets credit for. And I mean, he's been lauded as kind of like just a rare leader at that age coming out of college. So that's like, they're building that culture foundation too. We'll see what he looks like in year one, but I would be shocked to see Hutchinson not play a very key role on that defense. I think they're ready to let him roll. But Romeo, Hutch, and Harris are the top three in that group for sure. Those are the three guys that are going to get the most attention, the most plays, and stuff like that from the get, I think. That's what I expect.
What about the linebacker room and how they're going to utilize this? You know, Jeff Risden, our buddy from the Lions Wire, has always pointed out that, hey, listen, you know, they're not going to love playing a ton of linebackers because they like playing extra safeties, extra DBs. How do you think that room shakes out? And could there be a surprise that you know, cut maybe at the end of camp?
Yeah, well, so, you know, I don't, you know, there's really no surprising cuts out of the linebacker room, you know, just because it's such a clear, obvious weakness on that roster on both sides of the ball, because it's like, it's really hard to even project starters in that room. I mean, you assume Alex Anzalone is going to start, but after him, it's Derek Barnes and Jared Davis, and then you've got Malcolm Rodriguez, a sixth-round pick, and I mean, they were playing James Houston at inside linebacker a little, and I mean, that's an interesting one to watch, because I think I could see James Houston comes out of training camp on the main roster. I mean, I could see him playing some little rotational inside linebacker, rotating to the edge. You know, that's just kind of a dynamic guy that knows how to push the pressure. Yeah, the linebacker room, that's the one glaring weakness. Anzalone's a beloved locker room guy, beloved leader, but I mean, there's not too many guys that missed more tackles in football than him last season. And I mean, we know Jerry Davis, that's another beloved locker room and leader guy, a guy that they wanted to keep around, but then they got outbid by the New York Jets. But you know, he didn't fix his on-field issues last year in New York either. It's still a very one-dimensional, straight-line type player, I think. And just, Derek Barnes is raw. He's still new at that position. So it's like, there's some giant question marks.
Yeah.
And it's really rare to be talking about a six-round guy like Malcolm Rodriguez potentially having a path to playing time if he shows up. So it's just, that's the thinnest room on the roster by far. None of those names getting cut outside of Anzalone would honestly surprise me, to be completely honest with you, just because I'm very low on that room, and anything they can do to limit the number of linebackers on the field, I think fans should celebrate.
You didn't even mention Sean Dion Hamilton. I mean, that's another guy that they like. They're all like the same. It's kind of, it's bizarre. Yeah. So we'll see.
It's weird. It's really weird. Exactly. You know, Sean Dion Hamilton, I think he had some injury issues last year, but yeah, I mean, that was a guy that they seemed high on this time last year. So we'll see. They're gonna give their guys a chance for sure. You know, there's some good leaders in that room, but I mean, there's just not a lot of difference makers or playmakers in that room.
Ben, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Ben Raven with us, MLive.com and the Dungeon of Doom podcast. Check out all of Ben's stuff. Follow him on Twitter and all of that. We appreciate his time today here on Locked On Lions on a Tuesday, May the 24th. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.